Kerr, Sister. Crystal Springs, St. Helena, California. November 8, 1900. Dear Sister Kerr, I often think of you, and my heart goes out to you with the strong desire that you shall advance day by day in the path of righteousness and holiness. My sister, the Lord desires you to put on Christ every day. The Savior was represented to me as stretching out his hand to you, saying as he did so, "Give yourself to me without any reservation. Open the door to your heart that I may enter and take possession." You have trials, I know, but there is such a thing as showing a spirit of driving rather than of drawing. Your husband needs each day to see a living example of patience and self-control. Make every effort to please him, and yet do not yield up one principle of the truth. In order to render to God perfect service, you need to accept the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You have not always pursued the course that will ensure you the blessing of God. Do you want the abiding presence of Christ in your family? Then you must obey the word, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." As you take upon you Christ's yoke of restraint and obedience, you will, by individual experience, find rest. Submit to Christ's yoke, not a yoke of your own manufacture, which will always be galling. "Ye shall find rest unto your soul," he declares. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. In Christ's school, learn perfectly the lessons of meekness and lowliness of heart. Seek to do his will and to glorify his name. By accepting Christ and submitting to his yoke, you will find peace and rest. Christ requires the whole being in his service, heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you give him what he asks of you, you will represent him in character. Let your husband see the Holy Spirit working in you. Be careful and considerate, patient and forbearing. Do not urge the truth upon him. Do your duty as a wife should, and then see if his heart is not touched. Your affections must not be weaned from your husband. Please him in every way possible. Let not your religious faith draw you apart. Conscientiously obey God and please your husband wherever up he can. My sister, I know that you are too quick and hasty in your judgment of people. You have said too much before the sister with whom you were acquainted in Healdsburg. However much you may esteem her, it is not wise to go to extremes. There was no call for such effusive language. And you praise your son to his face as being such a good boy. You need to be more even in your manifestations of confidence. There is danger that you will put vanity into the hearts of those you praise. Let all the glory be given to God. The day we visited you, we appreciated much the bountiful repast prepared for us. But you need to study how to prepare nutritious food in the most simple way. Your husband's wishes regarding the preparation of food should be respected. And still, you may study to prepare appetizing dishes in as simple and healthful a way as possible, so that the fine nerves of the brain will not become weakened and paralyzed, making him and you excitable, nervous, and easily provoked. I am instructed by the Lord to say to you, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." The Lord asks you to keep close to him. Speak as he would speak and act as he would act. Do not let anyone prejudice your mind and lead you to speak unadvisedly. Keep your own soul pure and clear, and your thoughts elevated and sanctified. Do not praise or exalt people to their injury, neither be hasty to condemn those whom you think are not acting wisely. Let all see that you love Jesus and trust in Him. Give your husband and your believing and unbelieving friends evidence that you desire them to see the beauty of truth. But do not show that painful, worrying anxiety which often spoils a good work. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. If men for no higher reward than a perishable crown, a wreath of flowers, subject themselves to temperance in all things, how much more should those who are seeking an unfading crown of immortality and a life which measures with the life of God? Should not the intensity of our effort be proportionate to the value of the object we are seeking to gain? God holds out before those who are running in the Christian race a fair, more exceeding, and eternal weight of glory. Should not this inducement be sufficient to lead them to practice temperance in all things, keeping their appetites and passions in perfect subjection? My dear sister, you stand in a responsible position in your home. Hold the reins of government with a wise, even hand. Do not allow the members of your family to lose their love and respect for you. Bind them to your heart with the silken cords of love. This you can do if you live close to Jesus. By beholding Him, you will be changed into His image, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God loves you. He loves your husband, and He is seeking to draw him to Himself. He desires to take his attention off mere earthly enterprises and fix them on the eternal riches. The cross, my dear sister, is to be lifted and borne without a murmur or complaint. In the act of raising it, you will find that it raises you. You will find it alive with mercy, compassion, and pitying love. Now, my sister, I must close. This morning I go to San Francisco to speak to the people on the Sabbath, and in order to catch the train, we must leave here before daybreak. There is much more I would be pleased to say, but I will stop just where I am, only adding, never let a word of reproach or fault-finding fall upon the ears of your husband. You sometimes pass through strait places, but do not talk of these trials. Silence is eloquence. Hasty speech will only increase your unhappiness. Be cheerful and happy. Bring all the sunshine possible into your home and shut out the shadows. Let the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shine into the chambers of your soul temple. Then the fragrance of the Christian life will be brought into your family. There will be no dwelling upon disagreeable things, which many times have no truth in them. Move solidly, not capriciously. Be a real blessing in the church because of the discretion of your words. The adorning of a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. Work carefully. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Let not tears and sighs be your meat and drink, but praise and thanksgiving. Say with the Apostle Paul, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6, verse 14. God help you, my sister, to be a great blessing in your home, binding every member of your family to you by the strong cords of Christ's love. I advised Edson to send you some copies of a paper he is publishing in aid of the work in the Southern Field. I wish you to see if you cannot get subscribers for this little paper. It is only 25 cents a year, but even this will help. Do what you can in this line for that destitute field. In much love,